Certainly God blesses us by unusual means many times, and we thank God for that. Many times overwhelmed with God's grace and mercy for us, and don't know hardly how to respond sometimes. Before we begin this morning, I want to say just a few words about my particular walk, Emmaus walk. If anybody gets a chance, I can highly recommend it. If somebody wants to sponsor you to go on one of these, I don't know what you've heard or if you've heard anything about it. It has its origins in the Methodist Church, but the particular group of Methodists that I know believe very similar to what I believe. For example, they strongly believe Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that is exactly the way they go about their work. The work is a work of grace. Those things are emphasized. And they're challenge to us as we have them presented to us by individuals who have already gone through the Emmaus Walk, whether they be lay people or clergy people who have gone through this particular experience. To me, it was tremendously recharging and encouraging and challenging as I consider what God wanted me to do as I go forth after those 3 days. And I think that's what God wants for each of us as we have the opportunity to go through one of those experiences. I've been to a lot of different things. I remember taking a number of our guys on a Promise Keepers excursion a time or two. Some of you went with us. No, that was the guys went with me, didn't they? The little guys went with me to Promise Keepers at Arrowhead Stadium. And we got to hear 80,000 men sing as a chorus. The word was out that they could hear us singing 5 to 6 miles away, because the wind would carry it that far. It can get loud in Arrowhead Stadium. We made it rock, and we sang, and that was pretty awesome. I went with a group of our men then to Omaha, and that was a great experience. I've been to Boulder in one of the first Promise Keepers. And what I try to do, peoples, I try to check things out first before I recommend things to my people. So that's what I've done. So this is not just a Methodist thing. They are very deliberately trying to make it beyond that, because it is Christ-centered, Christ-honoring, and a great experience for anybody who gets a chance to go to one of these. That said, we're here, and we're ready to go, and we're recharged and refueled, and I hope you got your seatbelt on, because I'm ready for liftoff. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for liftoff. I don't know if you know what that means, but we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Scripture and according to things that are going on in our world, is coming soon. Paul wrote much about that in his epistles to the churches. He encouraged the people to be ready to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, Jesus said, as we noticed in our Sunday school lesson. Thank you, Gary, for leading that. A great time for us to think about what we ought to be doing right now, watching and praying, looking forward to anticipating the day when Jesus will come back again, because he's coming again. He only delays because I believe there are people yet that are going to be saved, that'll give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. But we need to be diligent workmen, just as Jesus described, the soil is there for us to be working in and helping the Lord in that ministry and producing fruit. God wants fruit. Our morning's text has to do with the Lord Himself and His ministry as He shares with people in the world that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and that they can come to Him, believe upon Him, and be a part of that great harvest, His harvest, that'll be at the end of the world. But in the meantime, listen, in the meantime, there is the wicked one who is sowing the evil seed in the world. And you may not know it, some of you do, but the evil one sows bad seed right in the midst of his church. He's about division and destruction. I'll put it like this. The devil is about subtraction and division. The Lord is about addition and multiplication. And I'm glad that He gives us the privilege to be that good seed in the world. God calls all of His own to be good seed, to be that which produces and is productive for Him. And I pray God will put that in each one of your hearts, to use you as that good seed in the world, because God calls us by His Son to be that. And so this morning, let's pray before we even begin as we look at this text. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. Just pray that You'll bless it. Lord, we can't improve upon it, but we can look at its truth. Help us to look at this word picture that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to His disciples. Thank You, Lord, for their willingness and their eagerness to know what this word picture meant. I thank You, Lord, that they asked the question, what do these things mean? Help us to ask and receive instruction today, even from Your Holy Spirit. Might He pour into our hearts our truth that we need today. Guide us and bless us. Keep us in Your care. We ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The parable of the wheat and the tares is a parable that we have that Jesus spoke to the people. And as Jesus, from this point on, ever began to speak to the people, the Scripture tells us that Jesus used parables, or, in modern vernacular, word pictures. Jesus used these simple, ordinary, common experiences in their ordinary lives, natural things, to describe spiritual things. Jesus is a master teacher. But it doesn't matter what teacher you have, you've got to have listening ears. It doesn't matter how masterful they are in the things they teach. If you're not willing to listen and then apply that to your heart and life, it makes absolutely no difference. Why would Jesus use word pictures? Why? Well, I think we can get some clues as we look at verse 34 and 5. Out of Matthew chapter 13. Excuse me. It says, all these things spake Jesus to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake He not to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open, here's the quote, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. In other words, he was going to explain spiritual truths that have been hidden even from the beginning, before the beginnings of time. Even before the world was formed, God had a plan in mind. Don't you like it when people have a plan?
Amen.
I meet all kinds of people in my experience. Most of the people that come in contact with me, though, through the connections with ECMA that I have, don't have a plan. Most of them have planned to fail because they have no plan. Now, I'm not talking about ones that things sneak up on, right? You know what I'm talking about? When experiences in life, sometimes there's things you can't plan for. But when you have an emergency every month, there's something wrong with the plan. Somewhere. I mean, there's no plan. That's what I'm saying. So we're the plan. It's good. Listen, follow me through. It's good to help people when they have unexpected things come up. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we all have those times, right? I have them. You have them. Everybody in the world has things that happen. We have unexpected expenses many times. Right?
Right.
I mean, I don't plan for every contingency that comes along. Right? Do you? No, because we can't see them. But there's certain things I know are going to happen to me. Now, if I get hooked up to Midwest Energy, I expect I'm going to have to pay a bill. Just, right? If I get up hooked up to Lewis Utility, water, I'm probably going to have to pay a water bill unless somebody else paid for me. Right? And praise God, we can be able to do that, right? It's good to be able to help those that get in binds in their life, because what I'm saying is there are unexpected things that will come up in your life. You may get sick. Do you plan to get sick? How many of you plan to get sick? I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Brother Harvey, you're not planning to get sick,
no.
Today, are you? Okay. I was getting worried. You're going to get sick at school. Okay. Well, school's in session right now. I've got school in session right now. Don't get sick of school here. Okay? And all I'm saying this morning is we've got to have a plan. And first of all, our plan has to include the Lord in it, right?
Amen.
And if we don't have the Lord in our lives, woe is to be to us.
Amen.
If He's not number one in my plan, I've got some serious problems. And so that's where it's got to start. That's where the plan's got to start. I've got to put God first, and I've got to trust Him for all the rest. Amen?
Amen.
Because God is well able. And you know what? That takes a lot of the pressure off of me and you. When I turn the responsibility of my life, what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, what I'm going to say over to Him. God wants that of all of us. And we trust Him. He's going to make a way for us to be provided for. Now that doesn't mean there aren't going to be some undue, unexpected expenses come our way. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do you? We don't know. I may feel that I need to go see somebody. Right? And it may have more funds than I'm able to come up with right now. But you know what? If God is laying that on my heart, I need to do that some way, somehow. And I believe that God's people will be led to help do that. Right? If I can't do it, God will provide. He's able. Sometimes we get God down here in a little tiny box. Are you following me? And He gets a bit too small. He's a lot bigger, in my mind, than most of our minds are in the first place. You know, some of us think our God's pretty big, but how big is our God? Our God's able to do all things.
Amen.
He can do whatever God wants to do. And sometimes I just get Him too small. And so what I encourage you all to do is release God. Allow Him to do His work. Amen? Trust Him. Start your plan with God.
Amen.
And that's where to start. Now, I'm not going to give you all the guidelines for your plan. I'm trusting that God has, you know what? He's given you the tools already to make out a plan, right? You're made in His image. You listen to Him, He will guide you. He will help you sort that plan out and make it right. Right? God's able. Enough of that, on to the message. Okay? Sometimes you get more than one dose from me in the morning. Okay? We're not on Matthew 15, are we? 13. Parable of the wheat and tares. I like it when parables are explained, don't you? But the only reason the multitudes didn't get this, the multitudes weren't privy to all this information that we have. Aren't you glad we have it though? I mean, Jesus explains to His disciples because they ask. You know what God's Word says? It says you have not because you ask not. James says you have not because you ask not. Okay? If I don't know something, guess where the best location is to find the answer? From the one that gives all the answers. You know, I guess there's somebody that goes around, he's the Bible answer man. Calls himself that anyway. You know what I think? I think he doesn't have all the answers. There's nobody who has all the answers except Jesus. Nobody. I'll be the first one to tell you I don't have all the answers. And if anybody thinks they got all the answers, they got a thing or two coming to them, because they don't know all there is to know. There's only one that knows it all, is always perfect, always tells the truth, is always right all the time. And that's the Lord I serve. And you know, I believe it's like that because He wants to keep us humble. He wants us to realize how great and mighty and powerful a God He is, and how all wise He is, and how really little and small we all really are without Him in our lives. But you know what? If He's in your life, He can use you in some pretty amazing ways. Why don't you try? Why don't you try? That's my advice to you this morning. Try it. Because you will like it. You'll like the results. Jesus spoke this parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man. And we know from verse number 37, the sower of the good seed is the Son of Man, that is Himself. He's the one that goes into the world to sow the good seed, and we also know that the good seed are those who believe on Him. And so each of you here this morning that have believed upon Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you're part of that good seed. Now, what does seed do? Well, we come from the grain belt, don't we? We know what seed does. If you put proper seed in the soil, it'll grow. It'll be productive. God wants our lives to be productive seed. He has sown us, if we've trusted Him, He's sown us into the world right where we're at. Amen? He wants us to produce. He wants our lives to be different than they used to be. Praise God, they can be. As we commit our lives over to Him and let His Holy Spirit come in and begin to take control. And there's a great picture, if you will, of your life. On the throne in your life is someone. What we as believers have to do is let Christ be on the throne in our life. Previously, we were sitting on the throne. We were calling the shots, right? We were doing what we wanted to do. But when we trusted Christ, we're supposed to kick ourselves off the throne and put Him on it. And so now He's in charge in my life, in your life. We're that good seed in the world. We're to make difference in people's lives. We're to be productive. Our life is to be different. You know, there's two types of production, really. That is reaching out into our world and making a difference and allowing Him to change this life right here. And you know what? I would submit to you, if I don't allow Him to change this life in here, this life right here, He's not going to allow me or use me to reach many others and change them. That's kind of the way it works. And so, we see here, He says, there's a man went forth to sow. He sowed good seed in the field while men slept. You know, we talked about sleeping this morning in Sunday school. Are you asleep or awake? Do you know what time it is? Do you know what's going on? Do you know where we are in the world key events? Do you know? Are you asleep or awake? Christ said this to His disciples, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." He also added, the flesh is weak, isn't it? He knows all about us. He knows our tendencies. He knows our weaknesses. And the great word for you this morning is He loves us anyway. Right where we're at. But that doesn't mean He doesn't want us to come out from where we're at and be better. Be different. Be transformed. Be changed into the likeness of His image. That's what He wants in us. Good seed. You see, there's good seed in the world. While men are sleeping, and those men, that's us, need to be alert. Because most men are sleeping. Most of humanity is not a bit aware of what's going on in the world. They don't know. And what I'm talking about is things spiritually that are going on, lining things up to the end of time. Because the end is coming. It's coming. Do we know when? No, I'm not going to name dates and times. But we can know seasons We can know things that are going on in our world that are not right, that point to things that Jesus says, before I come, these things will happen. You can see, read further in God's Word, and you will find those signs of His coming. Christ is coming. And so Christ has sown in advance of that the good seed. But while men are sleeping, and by the way, it's sad if those men are ministers of the gospel and they're asleep. Because if they're asleep, I guarantee you their people are going to be asleep too. We got to watch and pray. Be diligent and warn of the dangers to come. While men sleep, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, I coming from my farm background, I can get the picture. I can look at fields. And I like to see that new wheat coming up. How about you? Amen. That blade coming out of the ground and growing. The only problem is, sometimes, in certain fields, you can look out there and suddenly that stuff gets thicker. It's not only growing in the row, it's growing on the ridges. You know what's happened? An enemy has come. And he's sown cheap grass, downy brome, and all those things. The untrained eye will say, man, isn't that though a great wheat field? And it'll come up the next spring and man, it'll look nice and thick. And then all of a sudden, after a while, you got all these tares showing their rearing their ugly heads, don't you? Tares. What's happened? Well, an enemy came. Bad seed. Bad seed sown with the good. And what a mess it is. My father hated all the tares. He was a farmer through and through. He disliked it immensely. He really didn't like it if the neighbor didn't control their tares. Because he knew if you didn't watch out, pretty soon you'd be pulling their tares over into your field. That's the way it works. Tares come in. What's Jesus talking about? Is he talking about wheat and downy brome and cheap? No! He's talking about himself sowing those who believe upon him in the word. And secondly, along after him comes the devil, sowing people with a hatred for God, for his people. Many times it's right inside the church. Notice what Jesus' disciples ask, or the servants. The servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst thou not plant good seed in thy field? Whence cometh these tares? He said, an enemy have done this. The servant said, will we go out and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest you gather up the tares, you root out the wheat is with them. Sometimes you just got to let them all grow together. You know why? Because you can destroy some of those weak, little, tender, true plants right along with those bad old plants. Listen, I left the last church because I didn't want to do that. Sometimes ministers can do that. You know what I'm talking about? They can get crosswise with some people sometimes. And they can do more hurt than good. That's why you need to pray for your minister. Amen?
Amen.
Pray that he keeps his heart right with God. That he has and maintains a love for all the people. Oh, he may suspect that some aren't real and genuine. But you know what? We don't know. Only God knows.
Amen. He's the only one you have to look to answer.
I've got to answer to him.
We all have.
Yeah, we do. And you know what? If I love them all, care for them all, instruct them all, challenge them all, build them all, try to build them all up, I've done my task.
Amen.
If they're real, if they're genuine, they're going to grow. They're going to be strengthened. They're going to put those roots down. And they're going to be productive in spite of all the other things going on. And oh, that God would give us eyes to see the truth, ears to hear it, hands and feet to do it. Oh, that God allows us to have that. I don't know how to say it any different. But to say this. I love every one of you from the bottom of my heart. I want what's best for you. As God's representative here today, it's my responsibility to do that. To care for you. Just like He cares for you. And how much does He care for you? Hey, He left heaven's glory to come and bear your sin and my sin upon a cross that we all deserved. All of us, listen to me, all of us deserved that. But Jesus said, I'll take their place. I'll take their sin upon me. I'll know that sin myself. Not that He did it, but He felt the weight of that sin of all the world upon Himself. And furthermore, I believe this. I believe if it was just you and you alone, He would have done it.
Amen.
He would have done it. Because He loves each one of us, each one of you, that much. That He would give His life in a heartbeat for each one of us. Greater love hath no man than this, than He lay down His life for His friends. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And you know what? The only way we can keep those commands is in the grace and strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can't live this Christian life by ourselves. We don't have the ability, but in Christ we can, because He will enable us to do it. And furthermore, let me say this. He will not, I'll put it like this. He knows our weight limit. Don, you cross countless bridges on your journeys, and usually they've got a weight limit, don't they? It says how much you can carry. That bridge will carry so many thousands of pounds. In Reno County, they have some bridges that they've been destroying because I guess some of them try to cross with too big a loads. Because they're beyond the weight limit. The good thing about our Christian experience, God knows our weight limit. Some of those burdens and trials and heartaches you all face. You may think, I don't know if I can bear this. But you know what? There's somebody who knows a lot more than you and I. Somebody who cares, right? He cares for you and me. And furthermore, He's there to help bear the weight with you and for you. And you know what? If He puts anything in our lives, I found this out, it's not more than what we can bear. And so when I begin to think, man, this is Lord, this is more than I can bear. I don't think I can handle this thing. It means that He trusts that in His grace and strength you can. He knows. He knows. And so what it comes down to is us simply trusting Him. Because we know He can and will. A lot of sowing going on in our world. Jesus is sowing. Are you sowing? Good seed? One day, a harvest is going to come. Harvest. They didn't root out all those tares right then, when they might have destroyed the new little wheat along with it. What did they do? They let it all grow. And then Jesus will send His angels to collect all of His own and bundle all that aren't His, and they'll be cast into the fire and burned. A picture of the end of the world as we know it. You see, this world is not going to last forever. It's going to burn, the Scripture says, with fervent heat. But the good word is this: for all those who are the good seed, they will live eternally with the Lord in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's God's promise to us. And so our challenge today is to be the good seed. Be the good seed, my people. Go out and be good seed. What does seed do? Seed is meant to produce. Seed is meant to produce strength and vigor in your life and new life in the lives of others in God's world. Be warned. The enemy's out there. The enemy wants to pounce on you, devour and destroy you. Therefore, every day we must pray for you, all of you. Pray that God will give His grace. And He will give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Just as His promises is true, and the Old Testament is true as today. And so let us conclude by simply praying that prayer that God taught Moses to pray so many years and years ago, to pray for God's people. Heavenly Father, we pray that You put Your angels' hedge of protection over Your people. God, keep them safe and in Your care. By Your Spirit, lead them. Feed them, Lord, with Your Word, for Your Word is truth. Keep them, Lord, from the present danger. God, help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Lord, guide them in all their ways. Use us, Lord, to be productive seeds in Your world. And Lord, just help us to stand for You each day. God, we ask and pray this all in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.